I curtsied like Ma taught me. The man looked at me again. A strange expression came over his face, but it only lasted for a moment. Then he glanced around at the others.
Sure are a heap of you. And all such big, grown-up kids, too.
There's a heap of you, too.
Tad's voice was soft and full of wide-eyed awe. And he got a laugh from everyone, especially the men in the saloon. But the fellow in front of us didn't laugh.
Hey, drunk. Seems to me like you're cut out right well for nursemaiding.
He pretended not to hear, but I know he did.
So, Mr. Drum, what might be your intentions now?
Mrs. Parrish still sounded very stern.
Well, Miss Parrish, I mean to no disrespect, but I reckon it ain't none of your dad bland business.
Then he turned back towards the gawking faces at the saloon door.
And it ain't none of yours, neither, so get.
No one waited to be told twice. Apparently his was a voice people listened to in Miracle Springs. Mrs. Parrish wasn't as easily spooked.
As one of the few voices of decent, civilized society in the town, I think it is my business. Anyway, I'm making it mine. These children came here looking for a home. And now it seems you are the only link to that home.
A home?
He glanced to look at me, as if to say I'm sorry.
We'd be able to help out on Uncle Nick's ranch.
I didn't want to sound too eager, but I was hardly able to keep quiet any longer.
I'm a fair cook, and Zach's a good hand with a plow and animals. As for the youngins, they can learn. We won't get in your way. Then you can go find Uncle Nick and tell him we're here.
Ranch? What ranch?
The ranch a fellow from California told us Uncle Nick had.
Since when do you and Nick Matthews own a ranch, Mr. Drum?
I couldn't tell if her voice sounded angry or smug. A reddish color started to come into Drum's face. I don't think he liked being questioned by a woman in front of all his friends from the saloon.
Now look here. Not that it's any of your business, but Nick and I did have a ranch once. Won it in a poker game and lost it the next night. How was we supposed to know someone would go spreading it around that we was ranchers, or that Nick's sister would take it in her blameful head to come out west after him?
Listen here, Drum. Don't you go speaking so of the dead, especially in front of her own children. Mrs. Hollister was a fine, brave woman.
Indeed, Mr. Drum. You ought to be ashamed of yourself to speak so. And as far as the question of your and Mr. Matthews' reputations go, I must agree to some extent. Yet it appears you are all these children have. Technically, if Mr. Matthews doesn't return, then I would think these children would inherit his half of your property. You might as well face it, Mr. Drum. These youngsters may be your new partners.
Look here, Miss Parrish. Who knows when Nick'll be back? Why, I ain't even got a decent place for them to bunk down. What about you?
I'm not their kin. I have no connection to their uncle, or to any property to which they might have a legitimate claim. You do. And practically speaking, my business takes me too frequently away from home.
She glanced at me apologetically.
So does mine. And I ain't got no intention of having no woman tell me my responsibility toward my partner's kids.
He was looking at Mrs. Parrish, but I thought I saw him throw just a momentary glance at me as he spoke. Something in his eyes seemed to want to say, I'm sorry. I'd take you in if I could. But not now. Not like this. Not with the whole town staring at me. He spun around and bounded down the steps, striding across the dirt street to where his horse, a pretty bay mare, was tied at a hitching rail. Somehow, all the fears I had over the past several weeks never included standing in the middle of a strange town with everyone turning us away. But there went our only hope of locating our uncle, galloping off down the road, leaving only a cloud of dust and five pairs of disappointed staring eyes behind him.